and I will be
content. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. There's no other place I'd rather be than to be with God's people worshiping our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I mean, LSU is great, and I would love to be at that game, but that still doesn't compare to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't compare to Jesus, a man who is greater. He deserves praise all the time, not just on Saturday night. Come on, he deserves praise not just on Sunday mornings. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we worship him. We magnify the name of Jesus in this place. Magnify your name, oh God. So we begin a brand new series called Abound. Amen. All right. How many of you guys want to abound in life? All right. I'm glad you guys want to abound. Me too. I want to abound as well. And so our theme verse for this series is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And it says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." Let's just read that together as a church. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Amen. We declare that over your life this season. And we declare that you will abound, that the Lord will cause you to prosper in all that you do, that this church will prosper in all that it does. Amen. Amen. So we're going to kind of, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to break this apart, and we're going to have three different sessions. And so the first part, we're going to talk about how God is able to make all grace abound to you. Say, to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, to you. Now turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, to you. I'm just picking. All right. What is grace? If God's going to cause all grace to abound to you, what is grace? Grace of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith and knowledge and affection, and kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues. And so God, he gives us grace, and he gives us, first of all, grace for salvation. How many saved folk do we have in the place today? That you know that you're saved, amen? It's because of God's grace. The Bible says that we are saved by grace and faith, and through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the first part we want to talk about is God gives us grace for salvation. Anybody ever received like an amazing gift before? Right? And I talked about this before, but one of the greatest gifts I've ever received was this miter saw, the DeWalt miter saw from my wife. And man, I get so much use out of this thing. It is unbelievable. And that was like one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten, you know, in all time. And my wife gotten it for me. And so I use it on a regular basis. It's a gift. Did I have to do anything to deserve that gift? Probably not. I probably didn't even deserve that gift. But yet she gave it anyway. And that's what grace is. It's a free gift. It's something that is not earned. You don't merit grace, especially when it comes to salvation. There's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing that you cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough good things in this life, in this earth, to obtain God's grace. It's a free gift. Amen. And so we look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And that's the reason why it's of grace, and it's all of God's work. If it was of our works, then why did Christ have to come to die? Amen? But because, you know, he gave us a law, he gave us the Old Testament law, and we proved that we're not able to fulfill that law. We're not able to abound in righteousness. And so he gives us Jesus, his only begotten Son. I mean, that is the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. I don't know if you would be willing to lay down your only child for a bunch of sinners, a bunch of heathens, a bunch of those who would blaspheme God. Would you be willing to do that? But yet that's what God did. He said, I know this humanity is fallen and it's flawed, but yet I'm still going to give grace. I'm still going to give this amazing gift of grace called Jesus for our salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Isn't he great? Isn't he worthy? It's a gift. It's not something you deserve by any stretch of the imagination. And perhaps you've been a giver of good gifts, right? Perhaps you just shout it on count three. What was the best gift that you ever given? All right, so you guys are not really givers. So we're going to have to work on that. We're going to talk about that in the next couple of sermons, about being givers. What was the greatest gift that you guys have ever given? Let's try this again. Okay, well, we're going to work on this throughout the series about giving, about being more generous in our giving, because we're not a very generous giving church, apparently. I'm just picking. All right. Anyway, so moving right along. So grace has been given to you, and you know, by God. It's a free gift, and it's for salvation. It's not our own doing, but it's all God's doing. Amen. And so whenever he gives us grace for salvation, it removes all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our past. He wipes it clean. He gives you a brand new slate. He says, you know, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. Everything you did in your past is gone. It's forgotten. It's been forgiven. And how many guys are so grateful for that? Amen. Because I would hate for God to hold my past against me. He said, yeah, but Ted, you had all this. You did all this. And so, therefore, I cannot let you in my pearly gates. And so, I'm like, oh, God. And so, I need something. I need someone to intervene on my behalf. And he gives me grace. He gives me Jesus. So, God gives us grace for salvation. And you think about this, and a lot of people have a hard time accepting that God would be so gracious to them. Or that they would deserve anything that God would give them. And the truth is, you don't. He's just a good giver. And he's a good God. We go to the parable in the book of Matthew. I'm just going to paraphrase this. I'm not going to read it. In Matthew chapter 20, there was a parable about a master who had a vineyard. And he goes out early in the morning, and then he recruits and he hires a couple of people to come work his vineyard. And so they were expecting to be hired. And so they come. They agree to a certain wage. And they go and work the vineyard. Well, the master goes out four more times throughout the day. And every time he goes, he finds more people just kind of laying around and not really doing anything, waiting to be put to work. And so he recruits them to come work their vineyard, his vineyard as well. And so at the end of the day, the master is like, all right, it's payday. You know, it's time to write these checks. It's time to pay everyone. And so he starts with the person who came in last. And you know, maybe the others are expecting, well, he surely shouldn't get much because he hasn't been here a whole lot. But then the master does something so amazing. He gives the person who came in last the same amount that he promised to the guy who worked the whole day. And so as it progresses, you know, he gives each and every one of them the same amount. And so by the time that the guys who were originally there, who worked all day, who labored all day in the hot sun, who sweated and everything else, surely they thought in their minds, we're going to get compensated very well because we've been here all day. What does the master do? He gives them the same thing. And so they start complaining about that. Hey, we worked all day. We sweated and broken our backs for you, and you're going to give us the same wage that you gave them? He responds to them. He says, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity so that the last will be first and the first will be last? He says, it's mine to give. I'll give it to whoever I want, and I'll give it bountifully as much as I want. With grace, God does the same thing. It's his grace. So he gives to one as he pleases. He gives to another as he pleases. It is his to give. It is not ours to give. And guess what? The person who worked the least didn't deserve it. And that's the whole beauty of the story. He didn't deserve what the master would give him. But yet the master blesses him and says, no, you have worked for me. You are my worker. You are committed to the purposes that I have called you to. And so therefore, I'm going to reward you the same as this guy who came in at the beginning. We all get the kingdom. We all get the kingdom of God. Amen. We're all going to walk on golden streets. We're all going to see Jesus. We all get the same reward. Doesn't matter if you've been saved one day, or it doesn't matter if you've been saved 30 years. We all get Jesus, amen? And he gives his grace accordingly. And so it's his to give. And he gives it though we don't deserve it. How many of you would say that I deserve everything? I deserve God's grace. Oh, really? There's not a single person in this place who deserves the grace of God. Not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, is what the scriptures say in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Not a single one of us. Not a single one of us have lived perfectly. Not a single one of us have deserved any good thing that God would give us, but yet he continues to give. Amen. Amen. The second thing I would say is that God gives us grace to keep us on the right path. He gives us grace to keep us on the right path. So he not only works about your salvation, giving you grace that you do not deserve through Jesus Christ, he is committed to you making it to the end. He wants you to make it to the end, and he gives you that amount of grace so that you can endure your trials and your afflictions and your temptations and all those things that you endure. He says, I am going to give you grace. My grace is sufficient in your weakness. I'm going to give you grace so that you make it to the end. I want you to make it. I want you to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I'm going to give you that which you need so that you can make it. So that's another thing what God's grace does is he keeps us going, right? His grace, he sustains us. Perhaps his grace has been a shoulder to cry on whenever things have been difficult. Perhaps his grace has been healing to brokenness that needed to be healed in your life. Perhaps his grace has given you joy whenever you experience such sorrow. Perhaps his grace has brought rest to the weary soul. Whenever life just seems to be too much, he gives you grace to endure it. Perhaps his grace has healed your broken heart. God is a giver. Amen. God is a giver of grace, and he gives that which you need to sustain you, to make it to the end. He is committed to you. He is committed to you making it to the end. He is a good God, and he is a giver of all good things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen? And so this is what his grace sets out to do. It sets out to restore us. Anybody have ever needed to be restored in your life before? Where things just not as they were, and maybe you find yourself in a broken situation. But he comes to restore us. He comes to confirm you. He gives you grace whenever you feel like you're insignificant, whenever you feel like, God, this, you've called the wrong person, you messed up, surely you cannot use me. He gives you grace, and he confirms you. He confirms you as his own child whenever you're doubting your salvation. Whenever you say, I don't know if I'm really saved, he confirms you. He gives you grace to let you know you are his and that he's got you. And he's not going to let you go. He confirms you. He gives you grace. Amen. To strengthen you. If you've been weak before and you just felt like, man, everything's just caving in, he gives you grace to strengthen you so that you can abound in grace and strengthen others. He comes, he gives us grace to establish you so that you know who your identity is. You know who you are as a person, as a believer, as a son, as a daughter of the Most High God. He comes to establish you. So many young people deal with their identity and not knowing who it is that God created them to be. God created you to be this, and but yet this world will say you're nothing. But God, his thoughts towards you are great. He comes to confirm you. He comes to establish you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I am proud of you. Continue doing the work that the Lord has called you to do. Continue in righteousness. Continue walking down the straight and narrow. Continue doing good things. My grace is sufficient for you. I will be there with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you, and I will establish you. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling insignificant, when you feel like you don't matter, when you're believing the lies of this world, you go to the scripture and you read it to the devil and you read it very loud to him and say, God's grace is sufficient for me. He is committed to me. He is committed to seeing me through, to making it to the end. He is committed to me, and he's going to establish me. He's going to confirm me, and I will not be dismayed. Thirdly, God's grace causes us to abound with grace to others. Because we have received grace freely, we ought to give grace freely. Now, sometimes this is not easy, right? And I've been in some testing situations, probably where I failed this past week, where I'm preaching about grace, and I'm like, I haven't been very gracious. And, you know, just one example, like, we have this little pantry out here, and, people are welcome to come and whatnot, but one Wednesday night in Bible study, someone, for whatever reason, drops off this big old U-Haul truck full of junk, basically. And at this point, I'm like, Lord, really? We're trying to help people out, and they just leave a giant mess. And so it's hard for me, if I was to be honest, it's hard for me to admit or to give grace to these people who are just taking advantage of the situation and say, oh, I'm just going to dump everything right here at the church. Well, that's lovely, right? That's what you do at churches. You dump your garbage, right? But whenever I think about this, I'm like, Lord, this is very petty. This is very petty whenever I consider all that you've done for me. And you've given me grace over and over again whenever I was rebellious and I have sinned. Even as a Christian, I have not gotten it perfect. I have messed up as a Christian. And so you have given me grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Surely I can be gracious towards this guy who just disrespected the house of the Lord. Surely I can be gracious to him. And perhaps you face situations in your life as well. Maybe you struggle with being gracious toward your children. I mean, you know, your children can work you, right? They can work you. I mean, they know what buttons to press. They know where's the line at and how close we can get to the line and can I step over the line. As we have received grace, we ought to also be gracious even to our kids. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard, if I can say that as a parent. But his grace is sufficient for us. And so whenever I feel like I cannot do it in my own strength, that's the point. You cannot do it in your own strength. You need the Lord's strength. You need his grace to work in you so that, therefore, you can give grace to those around you. Amen? So learning to be gracious towards others. God's grace will cause us to do that. Because of what he's done for us, we should have this desire to demonstrate grace one towards another. Charles Spurgeon has this interesting quote, and I'm going to read it. It's very good, but he talks about giving, but it's very related to our sermon this morning. Charles Spurgeon says, "Now observe first, God loveth a cheerful giver, for he made the world on the plan of cheerful giving, and a great artist loves all that is consistent with his plan. I say God has made the whole world on this plan. I will show you. Look at the sun. What an orb of splendor. What a glorious creation of God. Why is it bright? Because it is giving away its light. Why is it glorious? Because it is scattering its beams on all sides. Imagine that it should say, brightness. If it should say, I will no more scatter my beams, where would be its luster? It is in the magnificent generosity of that great Father of the day that his glory consists. It is the grandest of orbs to us because it gives us so much of that vitalizing force which is heat and light and life. Now the Christian man, or the professed Christian man, who is no giver, or being a giver is not a cheerful giver, is out of order with the system which revolves around the covenant of grace and the cross of Christ. He is out of tune with the blood and the wounds of Jesus. He is out of order with the eternal purposes of the Most High God. Then the cheerful giver, made so by divine grace, keeps tune with redemption and nature after his own measure and calling he is commended of the Lord." I thought that was such an awesome and incredible description of how even nature itself is constantly giving. The sun continually gives its light, continually shines its light on dark places. You know, the waters continually produce water for us. And so in all of nature, it's continually giving. Now, what does that look like for us as Christians, as believers, that we are to be as that, that we are to continually give grace, to abound in grace, to abound in God's grace, yes, for our lives, to receive it for salvation, to receive his grace, to keep on going, but yet to continually give grace to those around us. And I like what he said, if we're not doing this, if we're not giving cheerfully, then we're like out of sync with even God's creation, because God's creation even gives generously. Pretty interesting thought. So how do we do this? How are we gracious towards others? And there's a couple of ways that I want to talk about. We can be gracious towards others by speaking truth and speaking kind words. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." And so we are to speak the truth. You're gracious to others whenever you begin to speak the truth. Amen. And you begin to speak the truth of the word of God. That's the only truth that you can stand on. That's the only truth that will give you life. That's the only truth that will bring life in others, is the word of God. That you speak the truth. Ephesians 4:25. "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So because we are all part of the same family, we all belong to the body of Christ or the family of Christ, we speak the truth in love towards our neighbor. And one more about truth. "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Let's read that again. "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So our words are meant to build others up and not tear others down. To build each other up, even as the body of Christ, as a family, we're to build one another up. And that is grace to them. It's being a conduit, if you will, of God's grace and allowing God's grace to flow through you. So we abound by grace, by speaking truth and kind words. We abound by walking in forgiveness. Oh, forgive those who have wronged you. Forgive those who have talked about you and have stabbed you in your back. You got to walk in forgiveness. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 to 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Amen. This is, again, not always easy to do. Because we know that many of you have been hurt and been hurt really, seriously, by another individual or maybe a group of individuals. But the command is the same. You must forgive. You must abound in forgiveness. This is a continual thing that happens in your life. You have to continually forgive. Whenever that thing will come back up, you have to continually forgive. Say, "I'm choosing to abound in grace. I'm choosing to abound in grace by walking in forgiveness towards those who have hurt me, towards those who have lied about me, towards those who have slandered my character. I'm walking in forgiveness. I'm going to abound in that." That's so contrary, right, to our human nature. Our human nature does not want to abound in forgiveness. We want to abound with fist fighting, or I'll settle this with my, but to abound in forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it no one fails to obtain the grace of God." Now, here's something interesting. We see that there's the possibility of failing to obtain the grace of God. He says that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That bitterness causes you to become defiled and causes you to fail to obtain the grace of God because you're harboring bitterness in your heart. Be gracious towards others by abounding in service. It would be my next point. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45 says, "But it shall not be so among you. Whoever will be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." If we're to abound in grace towards others, we must abound in serving others. Amen. There's no greater joy than when you're able to serve someone else, whenever you're able to demonstrate the love of God to someone else through serving. There's no greater joy than that. And that we are to abound in good works. Yes, we are saved by grace and we are saved by faith. But faith without works is... So we are to abound in grace by speaking the truth in kind words. We are to abound by forgiving others. We are to abound by serving others. One more scripture on that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." And so there's a gift that God has given to you, and he's expecting you to use that gift to serve others, to benefit others. What might that gift be in your life? Perhaps you have the gift of encouraging words, to speak an encouraging word to someone who's going through a tough time. Perhaps you have that gift to pray with someone and just believe God in that situation. You have the gift of faith. Perhaps you have the gift of discernment to discern things that are not of God and say, no, that's evil. Perhaps you have the gift, you know, to serve or to teach or to preach or whatever it may be. The Bible would say, how are you using that gift? How are you using that gift? You're to use that gift and you're to abound in good works towards one another. And so we look back at our theme verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." You know, we have no reason to distrust God. We have no reason to distrust his word. We have every reason to believe that whenever we give grace to others, that he will cause us to abound with even more grace, that he will pour grace upon you, so that ultimately, not only will you be saved, but he will give you grace to make it to the end, that he will give you that which you need. He will give you that shoulder to lean on. He'll give you that joy in your spirit whenever there's nothing but sorrow. He will cause all things to abound to you as you begin to abound in grace towards others. Stewardship. It's throughout the Bible. What you do, you know, he entrusts you with a small thing, but yet he's expecting a return with that small thing. He's entrusting you. Maybe you've only received salvation. That is the greatest gift of all. It's something. It's not small, but what are you doing with that? What are you doing with the grace that God has entrusted to you? Not to mention all the gifts and the talents and everything else that God has so graciously given you. How are you serving others? How are you abounding towards others? So just to recap as we close out this message, God's grace is given to us for salvation. It's not earned. It's not anything you can do to earn salvation. It's a free gift. God's grace keeps us on the right path. He is so committed to you. He is so committed to you making it to the end. He's like, you're my child, and I just want you, I want good for you. I want to see you make it. I want you to hear those words that I have ready for you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I am ready to meet with you. I have a table prepared for you. I have a place prepared for you. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you making it to the end. I'm going to give you that which you need. My grace is sufficient in your weakness. What might be your weakness this morning that you need the sufficiency of God's grace in your life? God's grace keeps us on the right path. He gives us strength. Come on, there have been plenty of times I felt like throwing in the towel, if I'm going to be honest. He gives you strength in those moments. He gives you strength to keep on going, to put one foot in front of the other and trust God in that moment and just believe that he's going to get you through. He's going to get you through. Just keep taking the steps. Put one step in front of the other, and then one step in front of the other, and then one step in front of the other, and trust in the grace of God that he is sufficient for you. Yeah. He'll get you through. He always has, and he always will. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is a good God. He's not a God who's ready to beat us down with a stick. He's merciful. He's kind. He's compassionate. And he wants you to make it to the end. He gives us grace and to train us in godliness. He gives us grace to cause us to abound with grace towards others. We are to abound with grace by displaying kind words and truthful words to others. We are to abound in grace by forgiving one another. We are to abound in grace by serving one another. Amen. Now, perhaps as I was talking about this, you know, the Lord really stirred something up, especially whenever we talked about that word bitterness and how it keeps you from obtaining God's grace. Perhaps there is still an ounce of bitterness in your life today. Perhaps it's still there. You thought, man, I thought it was gone. I thought I forgave that person. I thought I moved on, but yet I'm reminded this morning there's still some bitterness. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Be gracious towards that person. As the Lord has been gracious towards you, forgive that person. You might have to call out his or her name and say, I forgive this person for hurting me, and you name that hurt, and I receive God's grace, and I give God's grace. Amen. Only you know the battles and the situations that you are facing, and the Lord knows. Would you bow your heads and close your heart? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Open up your hearts. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your grace abounds towards us, that you have been gracious, Lord, towards us by giving us Jesus, Lord, for our salvation. Lord, he is our lawyer. He stands on our defense, and he petitions, and he says, Lord, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because of his sacrifice, we have sufficient grace through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of our Lord. His grace is sufficient for us. Lord, today we receive your grace. We receive grace that is meant to bring us to salvation. Perhaps you're not even saved in this place this morning. You don't know if you were to die this morning, would heaven be your home? You don't know. You're unsure. The Lord will say today is the day of salvation. Get right with the Lord. Repent of your sins. Receive his grace this morning. He says if you repent of your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. I don't know who this is for, but I believe there's someone in this place who just needs to get right with the Lord. It just starts with surrender. It just starts with saying, Lord, I am yours. It's, as we learn, that salvation comes through grace. It's God's gift, but it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he came to this earth. He walked this earth without sin. Yet he was crucified in place of our sins. And then he rose again on the third day. We believe. That's the beginning of salvation, is believing in Jesus and confessing him as Lord of your life, saying from this day forward, I'm choosing to live for the Lord. I'm not going to live for anyone else. If that is you in this place, would you stand on your feet? Come on, don't be ashamed before the Lord, because don't be ashamed in front of all these people, because he hung on the cross for you openly. He was ridiculed publicly so that you can have forgiveness of your sins, so that you can be made whole. And he says, if you are ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you. Don't let this day pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, you need to respond to him. You need to open up your heart and receive God's grace in your life this morning. It starts by surrender. And so I'll lead you in a prayer, but it's not my prayer, it's your heart's condition. Simply saying, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I realize that I am a sinner. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. That you would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive your grace.
I, receive your grace.
As the all-sufficient sacrifice.
As the all-sufficient sacrifice.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I confess you as Lord.
Confess you as Lord.
Of my life.
Of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And from this day forth.
And from this day forth.
I am living for you.
I'm living for you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
And let me just say that there's some angels in heaven that are celebrating right now when one person comes to the Lord. When one person repents of their sins and turns to the Lord, there is a celebration that's happening in the heavenlies right now. You may be seated, but perhaps you're in this place and you need to let go of some bitterness. Would you also stand? You just need to let go. You need to let go. You need to forgive. You need to forgive because God has been gracious toward you. You need to forgive. You need to call that person out right now in your prayer to the Lord. Say, Father, I forgive this person for doing this. I forgive this person for hurting me. I forgive this person for lying to me. I forgive this person for abandoning me. I forgive this person for turning their back on me. I forgive them. I give them grace. As you have given me grace. Making your prayer this morning. Making your own personal prayer this morning. I believe there's a healing taking place in your life even as you release that bitterness to the Lord. That God's grace will abound to you in such a powerful way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing lives this morning. Thank you for healing brokenness, Lord, this morning. As we forgive those who have hurt us, we receive your forgiveness, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Cause grace to abound to your people. Cause grace to abound to us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for those who just need your grace to keep on going, would you also stand? I just want to pray for you. The fight has been hard. The life has been hard. There's been so many battles. There's been so many things that has been trying to destroy you. Let God's grace abound in your life this morning. Let God's grace give you that which you need to keep on going, to keep on fighting, to keep on walking, to keep on believing, to keep on trusting. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy. That's how you win. You win by not giving up. You win by keep walking in the grace of God. You win by keep trusting in Jesus over and over and over again. Don't give up. I know it's hard, young people, going to a secular school with people who do not believe in Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on Jesus because he did not give up on you. Receive the grace of God that you will abound so that you can complete the race that he has set before you. He is faithful to complete that which he has begun in your life. He is faithful to complete that which he has begun in your life this morning. Lord, for everyone who needs strength in this place today, strengthen them, Lord. Would you cause your grace to abound to them in such a powerful way so that they too can keep on going. So that they too can keep walking this course, running the race that you have called them to, oh Lord. We receive your strength. We receive your strength. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the church of God say amen and amen. Give him praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Come on, y'all keep it going. Keep it going. Give God praise this morning. He's good. He's good. He's good. We worship you, O Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Magnify your name, O God. Holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Look, we love you guys. We hope to see you all this Wednesday, Bible study. Come again and come and be blessed. Grab you a snack on the way out. And abound. Amen. Abound. In Jesus' name. Amen.